into Blue's dating adventures and hookups. Starring Galaxy and Blue.
I'm going to talk about my dates and then some of my hookups as well. And see why I can't find the one, or figure out how we're going to find the one. And Galaxy is going to be here commentating, sharing stories, and helping us out as well. So, a little bit about me. I am a divorcee. I am 34 years old. I'm old as hell. Trying to date again. But it's okay. Somebody's out there for me, I think. So, that's what I want to give you for now. Galaxy, what would you like to say about yourself?
Hello, everybody. I'm Galaxy. I'm going to be sharing stories and experiences that I have went through over a short period of time as I'm re-entering the dating world. I've experienced long-term relationships, and I'm a habitual monogamous eat. But as those long-term relationships have since faded, I'm trying to get back into the swing of things. And I've come across a lot of awkward moments and even times where I'm finding it hard to identify within myself what I want. Here are my horror stories.
So, the first story I want to tell you about is the last, I guess you would say, fake relationship that I was in, because it was fake, because it was a lie. But, so basically, I'm a live streamer, and the guy that I was talking to is also a live streamer, and that's how we met. He came to my live, and I really was ignoring him for like at least 3 weeks. Was not trying to give him the time of day, but he wore me down. And I kind of like that, and that's probably a problem, but we'll talk about that later. And so we exchanged numbers eventually, and he was talking about how he wanted a relationship. He wanted to move. This guy was way in New York. I'm in a southern state. And he was like, I want a new life, and I think it should be with you. And I think we can make it work. And all these wonderful things. And I'm like, okay, great. So we started talking about what we were going to call this, and I was like, well, I don't really want to say it's a relationship yet, because I don't know if I'm going to like you in person. I mean, we've just been live streaming and FaceTiming and everything. And when I say FaceTiming, we was FaceTiming in the bathtub when he was in the shower and all sorts of things. So, like, we were always seeing each other. It was probably only like a few hours of the day that we weren't communicating when we were awake. So, you know, I'm thinking everything is great. So he finally comes down here, and the first day he gets here, one of his hosts comes to meet us, and I'm like, okay, she's 2 hours away. She gets here real quick. I'm like, all right. She's a cool person. I knew her. Well, knew of her from the app. And we all had a good time smoking, drinking, talking, you know. She went home. I'm thinking nothing of it. But let's call her Shanaynay, because I don't know what her name is. And he and I, you know, he slept in the same bed. Of course, we're having relations. So we're thinking that we're dating. I'm thinking that's the stage that we're in, that we're exclusively dating. And so eventually he tells me that he really doesn't like to have sex that often now. Everybody that I talk to, I let them know that, like, my sex drive is up there. Like, I need to have sex daily if I'm in a relationship and you and I live in the house together. It's just what it is. No, I think we had sex 5 times and it was awkward. I think I might have came once out of the 5 times. Of course, he came every time. And he would say, "Oh, Miss Blue, no, that's disgusting. Like, I don't like that." It was, yeah. I mean, he had a nice sized penis, so we'll just put that out there. But sex was trash. So, that was the first problem. Then, so, like, after 3 days of not having sex, I was like, "So, what's up? You just don't really like having sex? No? I mean, what's going on?" And he really didn't say much. Like, he just was like, I don't think I can do this right now. And I'm like, "So, are you moving back to New York?" And he was like, "No, we're still gonna, you know, get us a house and, you know, do big things." I'm like, okay. Well, you're not sleeping in my bed if we're not fucking, because that's just not gonna happen. So I put him on the couch, y'all. I know.
So this was after 3 days?
No, I told you we had sex for 5. We had sex 5 days. And it wasn't 5 days in a row. It was like every other day. Yeah, I know. Weird.
You still wanted to keep them after terrible 5 days of sex.
Well, I mean, he came from New York. I mean, I'm like, you know, that's like several states. If we was to drive there, it would be close to 24 hours. That's a long ass time.
Drove that dick out.
He greyhound that dick out.
So this man was on the Greyhound for how many days?
2 days.
Oh, boy. That was the head game.
So he lied about giving head, and I was... Oh my gosh. I was just like, I cannot believe this shit here. Like, because the first day that we had sex, right? I'm going straight down. I'm like, okay, because I know he said he going to eat this coochie. So I'm about to give him the business. This man comes, like, quick off the head. And I'm just like, okay, cool, whatever. I must have been great at it or whatever. All right, so I'm waiting to see if he's gonna go down there, and waiting. About 2 or 3 minutes passed, and I was like, okay, let me just jump on the dick while it's still hard. And all right, it came too fast that way, and it was just awful. And
exorcist on his dick.
Exorcist?
Yes, when you make your head spin around, you jump up and down on the dick, and then next thing you know, oopsie daisy.
Well, I guess that's what happened. I'm not sure. But he definitely... Like, I was let down, because we used to talk about, you know, explicit things. We were in, like, different groups where we shared experiences, but maybe he just didn't want to do those things with me. Maybe I was just the opportunity. We'll get to that. So, I moved him to the couch. We've already basically... decided that there's no more sex going on, unless he decides, you know, that he's gonna be more regular. And so he's sleeping on the couch. And now he's getting to where he's getting aggravating while I'm live on my live stream. He's being loud or trying to be in the background because he notices somebody's flirting with me. But he knew what it was before he moved here. Like, we talked about that. We weren't going to block each other from making money. Because if somebody's not flirting with me, I'm not getting gifted. It's just not happening. So, well, after that, I realized he didn't really bring that much money down. If he did bring money, he definitely wasn't trying to spend it. So he mainly ate ramen noodles. We went out to eat one time on his behalf. Any other times that I might have went out to eat while he was here was not on his accord, and he was not with me.
He's supposed to fuck him, feed him, and he couldn't fuck, so he can't eat.
That part. Because he wouldn't eat no coochie. He wasn't doing none of the things he needed to do. So I definitely was not about to, feed him. But at the same time, though, we were supposed to be, like, saving up to get an apartment or a house and, you know, start life. But I just didn't see it after the sex situation. So I kind of was over it at that point. All right. So about a month passes by. He's still at the house, sleeping on the couch. My brother's like, what in the world is going on? Why is he still here? Yes, y'all, me and my brother are roommates. We'll talk about that too. But I digress. This random guy is still on the couch. So, he's just here. Like, I don't get it. I don't know what's going on. My brother's asking, why are y'all in a relationship? Are y'all still, like, are y'all still moving? And I'm like, well, that's the plan. It was the plan. I mean, like, I really had no idea of what was going on at that time. So I tried to get clarification from him. And he was like, yeah, we're still trying to. And then he'll start looking for apartments and talking about some, well, I guess I'm gonna get a regular job. Let me try to apply with your brother working construction. Let me let you know this boy was too sorry to do some construction, honey. He was never gonna do some construction.
I can't.
He couldn't either. So but no, so I say about second month in, we had these quick work from home little jobs where we did surveys, political surveys or something like that. And during, like, the time that I was supposed to be working, Shanae, remember the girl that came the first day?
Oh my.
She messages me and is like, we need to talk. And I'm like, okay. So my shift was about to end. And so I called her. He was still working, which was perfect, because he would have been trying to say she lying or all this other stuff. Nope. So she was like, so I just want you to know that your friend is talking to me, and he said that y'all ain't never slept together and ain't nothing like that. Y'all just friends. And I was like, honey, I don't know how dumb or slow you think I am.
I never had any inclination that they were more than just coworkers, basically.
No, because she was always trying to talk to Hunter. Yeah, my brother. And the problem with that is that, I mean, it really wasn't a problem. It was just that I just didn't see it. And I guess because I had really lost interest with this little guy anyway. But, yeah. So,
more than once, or you only saw that one time and then they did their own thing on the side?
She only came the one time. She also was a live streamer and wasn't a very good one because she didn't get paid a few months, but we're not talking about her like that. It's just the point that she didn't have the money to come up here like that. And he wasn't trying to give her no money to come up here. So, I'm trying to think. It was a holiday.
So, he was having sex with her or just talking to her?
He was just talking to her, but he was lying. He was saying that he had never had sex with me and he was just here. That was the bogus stuff. Like, he was basically saying to her, like, they was gonna get together and I wasn't in the picture and all this other stuff. But, like, you need to be doing stuff like that on your own time, in your own place, not at the place that I reside in and you barely paying your third of the rent. Yes, I made him pay because he was not doing nothing for me. What'd you say?
He was freeloading.
Yes. Yes, he was freeloading because, like I said, he was paying a third of the rent, but he wasn't paying for his food. We would go to the grocery store and half the food in the grocery cart would be his. And he wasn't paying for the groceries. He wasn't licking the groceries neither. But anyway.
He was eating something.
Yeah, ramen noodles. But, yeah. So, he basically was telling everybody, and I noticed that it was more than her, closer to time for him to leave, because I was pretty much over it after that. I was like, so when are you leaving? I never told him that I knew about what she said, but I started, you know, like, you gotta go, you know, this is your time, this is it's already been 2 months. We not together. I'm not trying to go nowhere with you. I found him an apartment to stay in. And he was like, yeah. He had got him a car down here and everything. And he was like, once he found out that I wasn't moving out with him, he was not trying to stay in this area. And I was like, well, that's fine. I really don't care. It's just, I'm not staying with nobody. I'm not fucking. And you're not going to be cock blocking. Because, no, I need an orgasm, okay? Can I get one from you? No. Then we don't need to stay together. So, that's pretty much how that went. But I feel like maybe I should have asked more questions. But I really feel that he really just wanted somewhere to stay. And not have to deal with what he was dealing with, because he was like staying with his brothers and his auntie, his mama, like staying with different people all the time. And he was like, I had a bad time. And you know, you really can't put your situations or what you've dealt with and say that this person's gonna be like you, where they really are trying to get into a better situation and, you know, like they're gonna actually improve on something, not use you. But, you know, I learned that even at this age, people are just straight up lying on what they want. Because he surely acted like he wanted to be in a relationship when we were FaceTiming and falling asleep on the phone and all this other stuff. Alright, Galaxy, do you have anything to say about that?
Do it just seems like, I don't know if you guys have ever seen The Worst Roommate Ever. It's a series on Netflix, and I mean, it's a very morbid look on how people come in, occupy your space, take over, make changes, and then they just kind of freeload, don't pay once you get in. In some states, all you have to do is receive mail. It just seems like it was more than just an opportunity. it was an easy target because family holds you accountable. When you go in with that expectation of a relationship, you're not looked at as a roommate, but then you're an equal beneficiary of the accommodations. And I really saw that he took advantage of that first and foremost. And I kind of feel like you did all the proper steps. You asked the right questions. You got into what you wanted, what you needed, your sexual desires, your goals, your expectations. He was a catfish. He was a fucking catfish. He just straight lied from the beginning. Entering into your home, he knew he had no intention. And had he had the opportunity, I'm sure this girl, Shanae, had the funds, they would have been fucking. But fortunately, you know, it's an atrocity because people open up their homes, you know, and then you're providing for him. And at some point, it seems like maybe you were doing business, maybe you were not. You mixed that and crossed that line, but you were willing to take the chances for a positive outcome. The fact that I feel a little uneasy that after that fifth day, I have a question. What prevented you from sending his ass home? Like, not the couch, back to the bus station. Because at that point, no new friends, no roommates, no visitor. He was not your lover. He was not your man. He played a game. And if the dick was nice, it was nasty. Because he wasn't doing what he needed to do with it, which is another fucking disappointment. He was just one of those men that make a bad reputation for all the men that are trying to get in that spot. It's disgusting to me. But I do commend the girl for stepping up and letting you know what he was putting behind your back. So it just sounds like he could have been one of those difficult people to evict. I'm sure maybe things could have got hostile. Had it was exactly at what point did he actually get up and leave? What was that step? Was it finances? Was it a conflict? Like, what made him go?
So what made him leave was literally me saying that, okay, you're gonna have to go because we're not doing anything. The reason why I didn't kick him out, let me answer that first since you did ask that question, is because I knew he needed help. And I was like, well, maybe I'm too quick or too harsh. And then I also knew that his ticket wasn't ready for a return yet. And I knew he didn't have the money. I wasn't going to pay for it. I just wasn't. Like, I know. Which it would have been cheaper to kick him out quicker than him eating up all of groceries. But no, he came down here to basically purchase guns. And him and my brother got together and they was buying guns. Everything was good. He would have left when I told him to go. But instead, my brother was like, you can stay another week. What for? Because I'm like, every other day, have you got your line? I mean, your bus ticket? You got your bus ticket? You got your bus ticket? What time is leaving? You know, like, let's go. Do I need to drive you somewhere? Like,
so are you guys still social or friends? Do you communicate?
At first, we were still communicating because he still had hosts on the same app that we were live streaming on, but we haven't communicated in about a month or two.
Dead weight.
Yeah.
Dead weight. And again, that's a disappointment because there are a lot of guys that need a change of scene, change of environment, and an opportunity. And I just feel like he shitted on the ones that could have been in that place.
Well, thanks to him, as I had said prior to me getting married again, well, not married again, but married the first time, I'm not helping another person out. Like, it's just not happening, because every time it's somebody trying to use me, and I can't do that. Like, this time, I actually knew that it would have been a used situation if it wasn't the other way around. Like, if we weren't in a relationship, because I knew he was broke. Like, it wasn't a secret that I knew what his finances were.
Right.
So, it's not like, you know, I can sit up here and be like, oh my gosh, he used me for a place to stay. Well, you know, yes, that happened, but I just need people to be more honest about their intentions, because he just wouldn't have never came if I would have known that he wasn't really trying to have a relationship with me.
He would have faked it for a little while, but he wasn't gonna make it. Eventually, his true self would have shined through.
That it did. Well, Galaxy, do you have a similar story or anything else you would like to share?
Well, I'd like to keep it short and sweet. I know that we do have a time constituency. I just want to share one of my most recent experiences. So I guess we'll start from the end and we can go backwards. I met a gentleman on a streaming app also. But currently, I am on dating sites. I call chat lines. Those are scary because you never know who you're talking to. But I've done dating sites, Plenty of Fish, Tinder, Face to Face. And it's a hit and miss, but not really anything that I would say was an enjoyable experience. But this gentleman, I did not meet on a dating site. I met him as I was careerly streaming. And he jumped in my inbox and he showed his interest and inquired whether or not I'd be willing to talk to him because we lived in the same city. I thought about it for a little while and I said, careerly, I don't like to mix business with pleasure. I mean, it would be more ideal for this gentleman to continue to give me support and help me boost, you know, my entertainment career and support me in that manner. But at the same time, who am I kidding? I'm hitting up these different sites. These people are not local, or I don't get an opportunity to get to know their personality. So this might be a chance. So I didn't want to miss it. But I did ignore him for like a week. And his number laid there, idle in my inbox. Well, he came through and visited me again. And I was just kind of like, I saw your number. I asked myself, like, why didn't I call? Why didn't I call? And I remembered I did call. I called and we may have talked for 30 minutes. And the information that I collected was, A, he was getting out of divorce. B, he worked at a barbershop. When we were speaking on the phone, he was sitting in his car. And he worked in the hood, kind of like an undesirable environment. So it made me question his morale, who he was as a person. Are you of that the same nature? Are you a product of your environment? But even after I collected all that information, I just didn't want to judge him. I want to be open-minded and I want to give him the benefit of the doubt. So of course, a week or two later went by. I saw him again and I sent him a text and I was like, hey. And then I reminded him, we did talk. I did use your number. I don't know why I didn't call you back, but then I thought about it. I'm thinking if you get out of divorce, maybe you still need time to transition. There were a couple of factors that made me really apprehensive, but I continued to talk to him. We stayed on the phone for maybe like 2 hours, 3 hours in the middle of the night. And as 2 o'clock came, I said, well, I'm sleeping. I don't have much to do in the morning, but I'm gonna call you back. I'm gonna let you go. So we communicated for a second night and we stayed on the phone for a long time. The conversation was it was deep. It was getting to know you process. But then the next day, he said he had things going on and he would call me, and he didn't call me. But I also told him I had things going on and I wouldn't be available because it was one of my work nights on my social streaming app. He called me at about 2 o'clock. And I don't know, I got kind of frustrated because I felt like he could have texted me. He could have called me. But is it an immediate contingency to communicate more frequent when you first meet somebody? I don't know. I mean, because that interest, that drive is really what keeps me interested, like he's intended. And he didn't, couldn't even text. You said you was doing laundry. Okay. Do laundry. Visit your mom. You did this, you did that, and you called me when you got in. So I come to the conclusion, oh, okay, so are you the type partying, running the street until 2 o'clock in the morning? I don't like that. You know, I made my intentions and my likes, dislikes, and desires very known. So I kind of internalized it, and I let it marinate. He's a barber, which means he doesn't work on Monday. No call. He didn't call. And I'm like, okay. So you call me at 2 o'clock in the morning, and then you don't call me on your day out. That's kind of confusing to me. And then as we go on, we started talking, and he says, I really want to see you. I really want to meet you. We're 45 minutes away from each other. And so I said, okay, well, maybe we can go out. Because that's my interest right now. I'm dating. Dating is maybe a nice meal, maybe a walk in the park, grab some ice cream, a cup of coffee, but definitely meeting each other. So he says, well, what do you want to do? And I says, well, I know a couple of nice restaurants we'd go to, you know, maybe put on some decent clothes, have a good meal, and talk. He said, that's fine. You just tell me where you want to go and I'll take you. I said, okay. So I looked into a couple of places. My favorite is nice high-end restaurant, 5-star, but they got a really good deal on Sunday. I said, okay, what do you think about this? This is the price point. And at this time, he's gung-ho. But he didn't seem like he's ever been there, a place like this, or could even afford it. He called me at like 7 o'clock in the morning and said, and this was on an off day, do you want to go to breakfast? And I said, no, I got things to do. I can't go to breakfast. And I'm sitting there wondering, why does he want to go to breakfast if we're going to go to dinner, a nice dinner? But then he started slightly hinting that he doesn't have money. And I even asked him about his living situations. He said he had his own place. He has a 3-bedroom house. Him and his wife used to live there. He broke up with his wife they stopped having sex a year ago. And they were just cohabitating and not really intimate with each other until finally they separated. Twice when she moved out. He said about a month ago. Okay. So I mean, we just get into it. I'm trying to figure out who this dude is. And in the middle of just nothing, he tried to ask me questions about intimacy and sex, because that was one of the reasons why him and his wife had broken up. So come on now. As we get into it, we still trying to get to know each other, and already you just want to jump in the bed. Like, is this a booty call, or are you really trying to start over? Personally, and I don't know how you feel about this, Blue, but when you're getting out of a relationship and you're transitioning, you need that solitude. You need that time, you know, to figure out where you fucked up, where she fucked up, what you want to tolerate, what you don't want to tolerate, and rebuild yourself back up. And I just kind of feel like it was too soon. Again, the very first reason why I didn't want to talk to him. So we FaceTime, I believe it was Thursday, and we're leading up to this Sunday dinner. And I'm looking at his background. And I'm very straightforward. I said, why does it look like you're in the basement? It said I all moved in the basement. My cousin, me and my cousin are roommates, and my cousin is a truck driver, and he's never here. Like, hold up. You told me you had a 3-bedroom house, and you and your wife used to live there, and you live alone. That was a lie. What else is this man lying about? We started talking about intimacy. He told me his dick was about 9 inches. And he loved to eat pussy. I'm like, oh, okay. Maybe he's a lover. Maybe he's kind of broke. I'm getting the feel. He's broke. He's a barber. Barber's got cash handling. And he told me he didn't have a bank account. I'm kind of concerned. Because if you're married, you should have some type of asset. He just started incriminating himself the further and further we started talking. He said one day he told me, I asked him, did he want to come visit me and hook up for some coffee? He said he didn't have any gas. So I'm like, in the back of my mind, if you don't have any gas, how are you taking me to dinner on Sunday? Who's paying for dinner? This is a nice place. This is a place where I definitely get to put on some lipstick, some nice shoes, slides, no flip-flops, and, you know, get my groove on and enjoy a night with the gentleman. And it wasn't feeling like that. And then finally he told me he didn't go to work. And I said, what do you mean you didn't go to work? I don't like irresponsible adults. One thing I will do, I will go to work, I will get my money, you know, because you gotta make money to spend money. Then he told me he didn't have that much money. I said, look, if we can't go to this dinner, this was on Friday, it's okay. Just be honest. Because I'm starting to get the feeling that everything that you piling up in this image that you trying to create for yourself is false. And then he said, okay, well, I didn't want you to know the truth because then you wouldn't like me. And I said, but if the truth is the point that gets me to make my decision, we are entitled to get the truth so we can make a sensible decision whether or not we want to interact with this person. So when the truth comes out, I'm not going to like you. So just slay the truth out because, you know, you've already fouled me once and fooled me once, trying to pull the cloak around my eyes. And I came to my decision by Friday. Saturday, I just said to him, well, I don't think that we're going to be able to probably go to dinner if you don't have any money. He says to me, well, I just want to hope for the best. Well, you can't eat hope, ladies and gentlemen. And I don't know, something told me, and this was it on Saturday. He said, what are you doing right now? I said, just laying in the bed. I was looking cute. I had my red lipstick on. So, you know, I felt spicy. I took a picture of me just laying there. I still had my attire from my stream. And it was a little quick look. I had on a black onesie romper and this really cute gold black chain. My red lipstick, my hair tied to the back. He said, ooh, you look sexy. I said, thank you. And I'm laying on my pillow. I said, take a picture of yourself right now. And he says, well, I don't have any clothes on. And I said, even better. Take a picture of yourself naked. And he did. And he sent me the picture. And then he says, are you going to take a picture of yourself naked? And I said, well, I'm fully dressed. I never offered you a picture of me naked. I opens up the picture. Lo and behold, he's in that damn basement, standing in front of a mirror with shit all over the floor. Trash, junk, like he's a hoarder and that's his whole life savings in that damn basement. But he's naked. This man is 6'5". And that dick was 2 inches. All the lies came out, you guys. I don't even know if it's his house. But that was definitely his dick. And I was sadly disappointed. It wasn't the dick. It was the lies. So he was a broke man without a job, without a place to live, without a dick, living a lie. What was he going to do for me? But that's not all. So I got back on the phone with him. I internalized it again. And he said, so what do you think about the picture? I said, it's a picture. You sure are tall. But what are you trying to say? I don't got no dick. And I said to him, it's not really about the dick. It's about whether or not you know how to please a woman with that dick. He said, well, what are you thinking right now? Go ahead and be honest. And I did. I let it go. I said, well, you know what? I'm looking at this dick and I need to know what do you need from me to please you? He said to me, I need you to whisper in my ear. I need you to suck on my dick and give me some good head. And I need you to kiss on my body. Skirt. Okay. So this is what I said to him. With a dick like that, you better know how to eat some good pussy. And he said to me, you better know how to suck some good dick. I hung up on him. Because at that point, you have nothing to offer. I don't know if you out there and you listening and you got a little dick, you got to have something to come with the game. We'll take little dicks. All women, it's not about the size. But you got to be real. You got to be honest. And you got to be a hell of a lover and know how to hit that curveball. So what do you have to say, Bloom? I blocked him after that, by the way.
Well, I'm glad that you blocked him because he just was about games. He kept trying to stand you up. I don't like that. You stand me up one time, and then after that, it's over with. But, I mean, blocking him was the best you could do, yeah. I think live streamers just aren't people to talk to. Or barbers. No, I'm lying. I'm sure there's a barber out there somewhere. But the live streamer barber that I happen to know wasn't a good look either.
Broke barbers must not cut good hair. So not only he ain't got good dick, that was a double negative, he doesn't have good dick, doesn't have good head game, doesn't have a place to live, doesn't have a job. He had a car, and that's where I saw him.
Ooh, no good dick, no good head, no good. I'd rather deal with those ones that's got the good dick and the good head that don't have anything. I mean, at least you're getting that out of the situation.
I mean, don't get me wrong. There is no perfect anybody. But there's somebody for everybody. That's one, you know, never let the faith go. But what are you willing to compromise? Okay, here's the equation. No dick, good job. Okay, that can work. Unattractive, mediocre job needs to have some good dick. No dick, no job, needs to have a place to live and some good head. It's a combo, you know? The combo can come with two things, but the shit better be right somewhere. What are you willing to compromise? Chime in.
Okay, so we're going to go ahead and wrap this thing on up because we're coming to the, well, it's over 30 minutes, but it's okay because we got some juicy stories. Next time, I want to talk about somebody that had a good job. They were giving sex work. And, yeah. It was also one of those recent relationships. But until then, thank you guys for listening. And Galaxy, will you be with us next time?
Absolutely.
Are you enjoying the show? Thanks for tuning in to Blue's Dating Adventure. If you would like to give us some feedback, tap in, give a response, or even ask a question, feel free to hit us up. Here's our email, BLUDATINGADVNHOOKUPS@gmail.com. If you would like an opportunity to sponsor the show or just get a feature on our show about any of your products, feel free to hit us up and we'll get back with you at our earliest convenience. Thanks again.